Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Dom Cooper of View Online, and today we are discussing values in business. Dom is a director at View Online. They are based in Exeter, Devon, and help small businesses generate more leads through digital marketing. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dom.
Hey, how you doing?
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So what motivates or inspires you?
Beautiful things. So I love nature. We're really lucky. I'm in Devon in England. And it's just gorgeous. We've got moorland within like a half hour drive. I can see the sea from my house.
That's amazing.
It's really gorgeous. It's important that for me that I surround myself with that.
Yeah.
I'm sat in an office right now. I'm looking out across a marina full of lovely boats and can see the sea. So it's really nice.
Yes. My
background is in design. So architecture and things like that, you know, mm-hmm. nice looking things are really important to me.
Yes.
So that's a real sort of motivation and inspiration. I suppose from an agency perspective, we quite like sharing our knowledge with our clients and giving them the ability to train and develop and get better. And we're always a step ahead of that. So we're sort of tooling them up to get better at what they're doing.
Yep.
Because that generally leads to their success, which means they come back for more, which is always great. So teaching is important, positive communication, things like that. Those are real motivations for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that you brought nature and, you know, it's super inspirational, but it's also, I think, the best way to, you know, just relax and recharge and unwind, just getting out, going for a hike, spending time outdoors. That's definitely a good point.
You've absolutely got to do that stuff. Mental health is a big thing now, but it's only going to get bigger, I think. And we're aware of our physical health because we can see it in other people. And it's quite hard to be aware of our mental health in the same way. That's down to us to manage and for us to observe those changes in our own behaviors. And, you know, we don't always have a day every day where we wake up and we want to go and smash it today. You know, some days we have to work harder than others. And if you've got tools around you, you know, if you love nature, then surround yourself with nature and it'll energize you to go and tackle those things on those difficult days.
Yes, I agree 100%. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
A bit of a strange route probably for me. I mean, I knew from a very young age, my background is design. And so I knew from a very young age, I was sort of deconstructing logos on the side of vans and shop windows. And I was always interested, you know, I was looking at adverts in a different way and I didn't realize I was.
How old were you when that started?
Well, like primary school kind of level, you know, sat in the back of the car. I remember like looking at shops and trying to work out, you know, what's this messaging all about and why is that appealing or why isn't that? And I remember vividly that stuff. But I wasn't aware that was any different to anyone else because I wasn't asking my peers those questions at the time. So it was kind of like, I didn't really know. But I didn't get on great at school. I was a bit of a tearaway. I won't go into it too much. But it wasn't till probably my mid-20s where I started engaging with those values and those interests and thinking that relates to my career now and taking that very serious. And I remember going and doing a week's placement at school where they said, oh, you can learn about web design. And I did, but no one was there to teach me. They just gave me a rule book and they gave me Dreamweaver for anyone who understands that from like 1995.
Yeah.
And so I was sat with this thing, and I remember creating probably the worst website in the world. I'm not even sure if I ever finished it, but that was sort of this bug that was planted. And I went away and did some other jobs and did some stuff, and then came back to it in my mid-20s and started really teaching myself these things. And yeah, it wasn't until probably my mid-30s that I realized that actually, if I'd thought about it, a lot of these things that happened in my formative years, you know, those values that I created were already there. I just hadn't really identified with them, but they sort of drove me to where I ended up in the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you didn't go to school exactly for, you know, marketing or anything like that. You just basically had an interest in it. And then are you self-taught then?
Pretty much. I was a chef for a little while, and I worked in the council and did some random jobs. And then I landed a job as a junior web designer, and I went along to the interview and said, "So where's the senior web designer? When do I get to meet him?" Mm-hmm. And they said, "Well, you're the senior web designer if you want to be."
You're both.
And that was it. And they said, you know, "We need someone who's going to hit the ground running. You know, how hard can this be?" kind of thing, which of course is an absurd thing to say to anyone who understands the industry, because it is really hard and requires loads of different disciplines than one person who is eager. But I started, and it was all trial and error. And then after a couple of years where I was producing websites and doing marketing campaigns and things, I thought, I better just check I'm doing this properly. So I went along to a course, and I got the company I was working for at the time to pay for me to go on this course. Mm-hmm. And the teacher would defer to me for the questions. And it was at that point that I thought, okay, I do know my stuff here. Mm-hmm. And that was when I started taking it more seriously. That company weren't a web agency. They were a shoe manufacturer, and I was designing shoes and going off and selling and doing all sorts, liaising with the manufacturers and all sorts of things. And web design was a part of that. But it wasn't till I went and did that course that I thought, okay, there's some potential here. Mm-hmm. And that was when I saw there was a job going at a little company called View Online.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. You know, how did you get started?
Yeah, sorry, it's a bit tenuous, isn't it? So I went along, and like freelancers do, I sort of saw how I fitted into the team, and a job came up, and I took that on. And then that was probably nearly 10 years ago now. And
wow.
Yeah, a couple of the directors left a few years ago, and I bought into their share when they left. That was probably over 5 or 6 years ago. And so, yeah, we've changed a lot over time, but that was kind of my route in, which, as I say, is probably not the traditional way into how we do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about View Online and what you guys specialize in.
We're down in Devon, so I know you guys are over in Canada, so I don't know how much you know about where we are, but it's quite sleepy, I suppose, down here. It's not California. It's not, you know, the future of tech. But of course, there's no escaping that now. You know, most small businesses need to be engaging with digital marketing in some way or another, and everyone is on social media or trying to do their best with their website, their email marketing, and various things.
Yes.
And you know, originally View Online was very much web focused, and you know, we did really great sort of whizzy websites and won awards. And over the years, we've honed in on that customer relationship more so. And now I suppose our USP is focusing on a retained relationship where mm-hmm. every month we're producing reports for clients, we're sitting with them and having meetings, and we're talking through what we're going to do in order to try and meet their business goals. Mm-hmm. And bringing marketing really into their business and to the forefront to help them, because it has such a huge impact and people are so terrified of it. But when you sit and talk to them about it, it really de-arms that and demystifies all of those myths and acronyms and everything else. So
yes,
we're very focused on that hand-holding client relationship. And if you angle it like that and people see the value, we're a fraction of the cost of a marketing manager or a marketing director within an organization. But we can offer that level of value. So that's kind of where we sit now. And that's okay. Who we're looking to speak to.
Awesome. So let's delve into our topic now. So we're going to be talking about values in business. So tell us, what are your core values?
We have a few. We've got them listed out on our website. I'll quickly scoot through them. One of the most important things for us is making sure that everything is transparent and that the advice that we're giving suits our clients, not us. And yes. It can be very easy when you're running your business to think about how this conversation benefits you. Mm-hmm. And the way to retain clients is to make sure the conversation you're having benefits them primarily.
Yes.
So our first one is advice that suits you, not us. And that can be quite challenging when it comes down to the difficult conversations of when they're so sure that what they want is right, and you have that difficult conversation about saying, well, you know, that might not be the best thing for you right now. So that can be a bit of a challenge, but it's something that, you know, we promised ourselves to tell the truth, to do what's best for our clients. And that's a sort of fundamental core value.
That's awesome.
We value where we are in the world. So we're looking to work towards a greener web. Our hosting is 100% renewable energy. For any work that we do, we had our carbon footprint tested as a company. So
that's
now for
awesome.
Any work, yeah, it's a really cool thing. We had Dr. Julian Elker come and do a review of the company and say, look, this is where you're spending energy and the carbon knock-on effect of that is X. And so we now have partnered up with a local company who plant trees out on Dartmoor. They're trying to
Amazing.
Restore some native woodlands. Yeah, it's really great. And
yeah.
And so we're trying to offset our impact on the world. Lots of companies are trying to do that a little bit more now. And
yeah.
you know, we're trying to do that from a really localized way of engaging with also local companies and things that are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to spend my weekends out on the moors because I love nature, then what better than to partner with someone who cares enough about the moors to be going out planting trees on it every day? So
yes,
that's a really important one.
Yeah. I love it when companies just, you know, work with causes that they're passionate about. I had a guest on last week and they, so it's actually called Got Legs Digital, and they're actually from your neck of the woods. I'm not exactly sure where in England, but he actually donates prosthetic legs to South Africa. So a
Amazing.
Portion of all of his proceeds get donated. So yeah, it's so cool to see companies, you know, just being responsible and getting behind causes that they're passionate about. So I love that you guys are behind the environmental cause.
You're in real trouble, I think, now with, you know, we understand how cluttered the web is. I think also, you know, from a consumer perspective, there's a lot of businesses out there. There's a lot of choice.
Yep.
And if you can't identify what you stand for and build brand loyalty by doing that, then you're only going to get shopped on price, and then you'll be racing to the bottom because you're trying to be cheaper than the next person, the next person, the next person.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of those things about identifying your values and standing for something, is it can actually help you position yourself and add value to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is really important.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really helps you differentiate yourself from other agencies. And, you know, you've got to be authentic about it. But yeah, I think it's pretty powerful.
One of the other things that's really important to us is education, which I'd kind of mentioned already. Making sure that we empower our clients' teams is really important to us. And we have a real strong belief in potential. And that stems through from taking on apprentices and giving them the opportunities they need to make their path in digital, through to helping enable clients, teams, marketing professionals to take on and, you know, do other things in the organization that they might be interested in doing, and helping them understand things like SEO or AdWords when that might not be specifically their role, you know, but they're kind of
yep.
scratching the surface on this stuff. It comes into all areas of the business and is something that we're really passionate about. And the last one that we talk about is being human and accepting everyone's imperfections, because we all are, and we all make mistakes, and we need to share in those mistakes when they're made, and we need to share in the successes when they're made. And that's really important. We've had some relationships over time where we haven't been given the value that perhaps we feel we deserve for helping businesses grow, where business owners might say, yeah, that's great, I chose Vue and they did a great job for us, but it's my business and I'm doing great now, and fine. And we've had others where there's been mistakes that have been terminal for the relationship, where you think, well, you know, everyone does that. So it's more about just, you know, if you're open and transparent in your communication, then you're obviously going to have to be open and transparent about when mistakes are made. And that happens.
Yes, absolutely.
That happens on the client side too. You know, we deal with individuals where, you know, they don't want to get in trouble with their boss when they've made a mistake. And, you know, so we're dealing with a marketing person and the business owner, and it's a delicate line.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, that's an important thing to remember, I think, because it can be easy to forget and try and throw other people under the bus, and that's not what we want.
Exactly. Okay. So how have these values helped with your decision making in the day to day?
It's been at director level with myself and my business partner, it's turned decision making on its head. You know, we've, instead of dealing with the problem, if we understand where we're coming from, we can take our personalities out of the decisions. And I think that's a really a real game changer from that perspective in terms of running the business. And it's really helped us understand each other. You know, those are our core values as a company, but myself and my business partner have different values that we understand in each other.
Right.
So as an example, you know, I've already expressed my desire towards aesthetics and design. And so that can often lead to me, design adds value to things, right? So that leads me towards liking more expensive things. And his value is a lot around minimalism and reducing expenditure and impact on the world. And of course, you can see the obvious conflicts that we might have in terms of me wanting to spend and him wanting to save.
Exactly.
but I think also, you know, you can, minimalism is good for design, right? Because good design is also about reducing things, not adding clutter. So there are ways where it can be complementary as well. And it's about understanding that. But if you understand your values and you know where someone's coming from, then you kind of already know where the decisions are going to be and where the conflicts might come. And also to align yourself with people that share those same values.
Absolutely. I agree. And then, so how have your values impacted your marketing messages when you're pitching new clients?
It's been interesting because, you know, most of your listeners will be experienced with identifying pain points and solutions and things like that. You know, we're talking about marketing here. And, you know, we help and understand our clients translate USPs, and that differentiates one brand to another. But if we all say we do web design and you can't see the difference, you'll choose on value, like I was saying earlier. So when it comes to deciding on your USPs, those will be made on value-based decisions. So if I value the design side of it and another agency values the coded side of things and making sure it's beautifully written, really secure, someone else fancies the whizzy side of creating something really interactive. There's nothing to say any of those approaches are right or wrong. They're all a website and they'll all do a really good job. If you understand what it is that you're putting forward, then you're saying, this is what is important to me. And you're asking potential clients to do the same. And if you're not very good and you're trying to be all things to all people, then you'll probably find that you attract a range of clients, and some of them will be what you consider really bad clients. And we know what it's like when we've got a bad one. They cost time, they cost money, the amount of energy we have to put into them, and essentially they can be bad for our reputation when it goes wrong. And so if you understand your values and you lay them out in front of you, you're able to ask potential clients and customers to pre-position themselves and say, is Vue online? are they the right people for me? And if not, I'm not even going to get in touch because they're saying things so strongly that don't resonate with me. Now that to me is me heading off a bad client. And for someone who it resonates strongly with, then I'm getting a good client because we'll be talking the same language as soon as they come in. So there's a danger with marketing to try and be all things to all people, and values can really help identify those things out and those little nuggets of gold that really separate you from someone else.
Absolutely. I love that. And then, so how have your values helped with recruiting new members for your team?
Yeah, that's a different angle. So it's been hugely valuable from that perspective as well. Like I was talking about, me and my business partner understanding each other really well. But also, you know, if you lay out your core values for a business, then you can role play scenarios to reflect that. Mm-hmm. So earlier I was talking about being quite hands-on with clients and making sure that the communication is transparent. And if we're taking on a technical developer, one of the situations that might be really tricky is understanding how good they're going to be at talking in a non-technical language with a client, being able to understand and relate to them. So a great scenario we can do is, you know, set a scenario where we say, you know, this is the issue. I'll be the client. Can you communicate this through to me and see how well they do in communicating, you know, getting stuck in, communicating in nice, friendly language and being open about that. Mm. And those kind of scenarios, you don't quite know what's going to be important unless you outline your values. So your values can be a great starting point for identifying those. And I never really got it, you know, that at the very highest level of organizations that they talked about was values, and it just sort of washed over me for a few years early in my career of running a business.
Yeah.
And it sort of slapped me in the face one day that as you grow, you know, you have someone who comes to my organization might talk to me as part of the sales process. Mm-hmm. Then I might pass them on to an account manager. The account manager might pass them on to a developer or another designer. And mm-hmm. if you don't get your values aligned, then the client goes from one conversation to the next without a succinct message of what we stand for and what we're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. And so I realize it's the only way to sort of grow and have a consistent message through the organization. That's the only way that you can wrap up those parameters, really, is by saying, this is the kind of person I am, and I want to find more people like me.
Yeah.
So that we've got this consistent message through the organization.
Yeah.
One of the great things that we used as a tool early on for that was have you heard of the Myers-Briggs personalities thing?
Yes, I love it. So interesting.
Yeah, it's great. And you get a little code and it sort of tells you all about your personality, and you kind of go, well, that can't be right. I'll read another one because it can't have got me that perfect. And then you realize that the other one doesn't sound like you at all. And you think, oh, wow, it is really good.
Yeah.
That was a really big, you know, sort of personality profiling was the start of it for us, and a real big turning point. There's a great website called 16 Personalities, and again, you know, aesthetics. It looks beautiful. It's really beautifully laid out. The user experience is great. But, you know, we brought that into the recruitment process along with these sort of scenarios and things, and you start to paint a picture of what's important to the person that you're sat interviewing. Mm-hmm. And that's different to how competent are you at task A, B, and C.
Okay.
So it was really, really useful, you know, from a recruitment perspective as well as a marketing one.
So when do you do the test with new members that you're recruiting?
Quite early on. So generally, depending on the role, we might have several types of interview or different meeting points to, you know, just see whether we connect, then how capable, et cetera, et cetera. But even as far as if we've had recruitment agencies involved, we've asked them to send that initially when they've brought, you know, you get a long list of potential applicants.
Yeah.
And we say, can you ask them to commit to doing this test for us? And immediately you see the ones that are engaged and want to be a part of that process and are up mm-hmm. for it for a start, or the ones that aren't. But also you start to get a feel of the people when you're looking at a CV, you start to get a feel of their personality as well as that. So as early as possible, really, is our advice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. No, I love that. I did an episode talking about that, from the perspective of, partnerships. So, you know, certain partners are more extroverted, they're more suited to sales, that sort of thing. Other partners are maybe more introverted, they're more big picture thinkers, you know, they put all the processes in place. So it was a really interesting episode.
It's really true. And it's very similar to this in the values thing, because again, it's about understanding how you take the world, you know, how you look at it. Mm-hmm. And if you can identify that, then you can also identify the kind of role and where you're going to sit. You know, when you've got, like you say, a board of people, you want to make sure that everyone's tasked with the right stuff to do. And it's the same in a small yes. team. You know, get the right brains on the right kind of jobs, because that will energize them. And the same, if you're not asking those questions and people aren't really sure what they want to do and they're not thinking about it, they might fall into a job they don't want to do and feel de-energized by that. And
yeah,
that's no one's fault. And it's not the atmosphere that you want to create from a working environment.
Yeah. No, it's a game changer when you get people working on the jobs that their personalities are just naturally suited to. It's really interesting. So when did you discover this values first approach?
We've been working with a chap called David Buckley from the Summit Path, based over here, although we tend to do Zoom calls with him. So I'm sure he would be available to speak to across the sea. He's an absolute sort of hero and pioneer of this, and has become a really good friend. He's now doing some groundbreaking research on the brain and looking at how creating maps of friendships helps you sort of understand your values and why you connect with people. We'd originally spoken to Dave, you know, to help us around mindset and developing our resilience. And over time, this kind of spilled into all sorts of other things. And this was something that came into our decision-making. Both Richard and myself and Dave were talking collectively about putting things into the business and decision-making. When it came to that, this was like a light bulb moment, you know, of sort of identifying values personally, professionally, and then helping the team identify theirs. And it really was groundbreaking. So it's been a few years. And as I say, I never really kind of understood why big organizations were so keen to showcase this when there were so many other things to talk about. It used to just kind of go past me a little bit.
Yeah.
But now I really see the importance. And I think the earlier you can get involved and identify that, it will answer a lot of questions very quickly as part of growing the business. Mm-hmm. And making those decisions, because you can look at it this way: we all have values and we're all making decisions based on them all of the time, whether we've identified what they are or not. So for my whole life, I was looking at things that were aesthetically pleasing or gravitating towards nature, even though I might not have outlined that those things were really important to me in my head and attributed any value to that.
Exactly.
But I was still making decisions that would take me there. And yeah. So we're all doing it all of the time. So the more we understand about ourselves and each other around us, the more that we can say, that's my kind of person, or that isn't my kind of person. That's okay. You're your kind of person. That's cool too. But
yeah,
I need to be more around these kind of people.
Yeah. And it all starts from the top and works its way down as well. I like to think of it as, you know, you've got these lenses that you just look at everything through, all your decisions that you're making. Does it fit with this value, this value, this value? And I know a big one for us is service before sales. So, you know, like we won't do work with someone if we don't genuinely feel that we can, you know, offer an impact and help them out. So, and then, you know, if they're not a good fit, we will refer them to someone who we think is a good fit. So, it takes a while, but it will become second nature. And then it's just something that all the decisions you make in every aspect of your company, you're just looking through that lens and making sure it fits with your values.
Absolutely right. And there was two things there, because not only are you able to identify those, which is very similar to sort of saying you're not quite right for us right now, but mm-hmm. the value of a referral to somebody else shows that you're understanding them and their values, and yeah. also creating a network of people and understanding their values and then looking to connect people who share those. And that's really powerful too.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us, where do you see Vue Online in 5 years' time?
We've just moved. We've been in Totnes, which is a very small town. It's very quirky and unique in Devon. Very hard to explain to those that haven't been there. But if you do come to Devon, you need to go and see Totnes. It's entirely of its own making.
Okay.
And a magical little place. But we've kind of been moving. A lot of our green credentials and values come from our upbringing, and both me and my business partner went to school in Totnes, so we haven't gone very far. We're starting to see the kind of clientele that we're working for getting further and further away and more towards London and bigger cities. Mm-hmm. So we're just moving ourselves into Exeter, which is the biggest, nicest city around us. No offense to all the other big, nice cities.
Yeah.
We're geared towards producing quality work rather than quantity. So in 5 years, I don't anticipate too much will have changed. We'll have a few more people in the team. We'll have a few more clients, I would expect. The main challenge will be that I think we'll have word of mouth of 5 years more business, and we'll have grown a fair bit. And it will be about making sure that we're offering the same values and quality that we are now as we grow and thrive. So I think that's where we'll be. Yeah.
That's exciting. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Yes, I was thinking about this. In relation to this topic of values, I thought a really good place to start would be Simon Sinek and Finding Your Why. That's a really relevant conversation. I discovered that book by watching a TED Talk. So it may well be well known to you, and if it is, great. But if it isn't, go and look for the Golden Circle TED Talk with Simon Sinek. It's 10 or 15 minutes that will probably change the way that you think about stuff. And if you enjoy that, then you'll know whether you want to read the book or not.
Yeah.
So that's good. There's another good one called The Rational Animal, which does a really good job of explaining natural biases that we have. And how we prioritize them in our decision making, which is kind of relevant too. So, for example, we take more risks when we're trying to attract a mate, and we take less when we have children. We're more aware of becoming ill as we get older. These are natural things that impact our thinking, and that's a really cool thing to understand as well. It helps you understand more around what values you're going to prioritize during which time of life, which is quite cool.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Okay. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Yeah, this is the bit where I'm supposed to say that I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym.
Meditate,
and
eat all the do yoga.
Yeah. I'm not really a morning person. I basically sort of stumble my way into the shower, have a cup of tea to wake my brain up. Not at the same time. I have the cup of tea afterwards. Yeah. I look over my emails and my calendar with some toast and Marmite. And then I take the kids to school, which isn't very rock and roll. Weekends are generally a bit more exciting, but not really in the mornings. We have quite slow weekend mornings. We make coffee, bake bread, and I coach a football team on a Sunday morning, so I have to get up and go out and do that, which fits another one of my values around teaching and belief in potential. So that's another choice that I made at some point without really realizing that fits those things that I think are really important to me. So
yeah,
it's not the most rock and roll morning routine, unfortunately.
Everyone's different, right? Like, and it's interesting because I feel like night owls are meant to produce like morning people, you know, like everyone is meant to sort of like fit into that same role, but there are people out there that are just not morning people as well. And, you know, even doing tasks where you need to be super alert first thing in the morning, you know, they're just not naturally suited to do that. They're more alert a little bit later on during the day. So it's
got to find your strengths and weaknesses. And I think that there's something in there around the way that we structure this sort of 9-to-5 world that we live in that You know, there's been a fair few studies of people working less hours and working hours when they feel productive and still achieving the same output as a week's worth of work.
Yes.
And we need to have a bit of a shift in this, because lots of creative people tend to be night owls. Mm-hmm. And for me, when the world quietens down around me, I can really focus in on things. So, yes. You know, instead of a morning routine to say, Dom, what do you do between 11 and 1 on the odd Wednesday night? You know, there are some times where I'm really productive in those modes and want to do nothing else but just sit and be creative. And that could be illustration, trying to learn the guitar or whatever. But there is something in there that we're not quite tapping into yet, in terms of how you can't pigeonhole everyone into you know, that sort of 9 to 5.
Yes, absolutely. Dan Pink, he's written a really good book that talks about that. And it talks about basically, the name of it is escaping me, but if you Google Dan Pink, he talks about basically like morning people, night owls, and structuring your day in accordance of when you're most productive and play to your strengths, basically. Okay, so next question. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, sorry, it's not being a very quick five, is it?
it's all good.
I don't know if there's one that I do. I mean, there's some big names out there that I like for different reasons. I tend to borrow ideas from all over the place. From a marketing perspective, I think Seth Godin has been, full of really good ideas for a long time. Mm-hmm. Daniel Priestley with his Key Person of Influence is good. There's some good British people. I like Ricky Gervais and Darren Brown. There's sort of the self-deprecating British wit that I sort of love about that, and a different take on things. So I'm just looking for good ideas from all over, I suppose, rather than being loyal to anyone in particular.
Okay. And then what is your favorite online tool?
Yeah, that's a good one. It probably changes all the time for me. I spend a lot of my time in the Adobe suite doing design work, and we use the Google Drive for all of our sort of productivity tools. So those two, like, that's a big chunk of our day.
Yeah.
Slack has changed the way that we communicate. So no internal communication via email, everything handled on Slack, which is great. That's been a real game changer. But the tool that I really love that I'm working a lot at the moment is Ahrefs, which is an SEO tool. It has so much detail into the backlinks and going into keywords and questions and all sorts of things that I've not seen in other good tools. So that's one I'd really recommend if you're doing SEO or keyword research. It's a great tool, but it is quite expensive.
Okay. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Obviously, I'm going to say my values.
yes.
I think when I started out, I thought it was about being really good at what I was doing, and whether it's that you get to a point you get to the point of being good and then you don't worry about that, I don't know. But what I've learned over the last few years since honing my skills is that it's all about relationships and investing time in people and helping connect other people with other people only reflects well on you, and all of that kind of stuff, which has made me a better business person, a better networker, a friend to many more people. So relationships, investing in relationships is something I would do far more of if I could go back, roll the years back. I was very me focused.
Yes, so powerful. I love that point. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dom. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's been really good fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.